Are you looking to save a little cash right now? I know I am. So I have some great deals for you. Daily Harvest right now is offering $25 off your first order when you use code VEGANSBABY at checkout. They are an all-organic, all-natural meal prep service. So you get cups of beautiful smoothies and bowls and savory and sweet. And I absolutely love them. There's also some deals right now over at Vegan Cuts, and they do subscription boxes like snack boxes and beauty boxes, and even right now a quarantine box. So head over to vegancuts.com and use code VEGANSBABY to save a little money there. And if you're in the mood to shop, I actually have a whole shop on Amazon with some of my favorite products. It's amazon.com/shop/vegansbaby. Head on over, check it out, and enjoy some shopping. You're listening to The Good Fork with host Diana Edelman of Vegans Baby from Las Vegas, Nevada. Interesting conversations, interesting people. For more, head over to vegansbaby.com after the episode. All right. Today, I've got Rachel Geiger here. She is the founder and CEO of Snow Monkey, a sustainably sourced superfood ice treat that was founded in 2016 when she was still in college. It wasn't long before Snow Monkey got noticed, and shortly after its launch, Chobani named the superfood ice treat product one of their next frontiers in food and welcomed her into its food incubator program. Now you can find Snow Monkey in more than 2,500 stores nationwide. I've even ordered some, and I have it in my fridge, and I love it. And what's even more badass than founding a company from your college apartment and getting it into stores across the country? Last year, Rachel was named to the prestigious Forbes 30 Under 30 list. Rachel, it is a pleasure to have you here. How are you today?
Hi, Diana. Thank you so much for having me. And also congratulations on the launch of your podcast.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Congratulations on all of your success. It seems like the past 4 years have been a pretty wild ride for you, huh?
Yeah, it's gone by in the click of fingers.
Right? So I guess really how... Explain to me how Snow Monkey came about. You know, like it was so cool when I heard about you the other day. I had your product in my freezer, and it was just like, of course I want to talk to you. Like, that's just so awesome. It's not often you get to meet these entrepreneurs that are female and have just succeeded and achieved so much in such a short amount of time. So how did this all start for you?
This was all very, very organic. I always thought I was going to end up in real estate or finance, and obviously things took a turn. I've been an athlete my whole life and just very conscious about food as fuel and really looking and tracking how my body was responding to the diets that I was eating, the training programs that I was undergoing. And I kept hitting this block with ice cream because I'm human. I love to indulge. And every time I indulged in ice cream, there were so many negative effects that came afterwards, just in terms of like the calorie overloading, all that sugar, the fat, having a very sensitive gut and being lactose intolerant. And I just slowly came to realize that myself and so many Americans absolutely love ice cream, but we have such a love-hate relationship with it. And I thought, why can't we make something we love actually love us back? And just started making my own versions in my dorm room, reiterating it with different fruits, different seeds, different superfood powders, different proteins. And I kept eating so much of it. So I started calculating the nutritional facts and sharing it with my friends. And that's when we all really realized that this was this guilt-free ice cream that we were also using as a great fuel. And when I didn't have time to make it, I would go to the supermarket and try to find something that could kind of compare to these homemade batches that at the time didn't even have a name. And nothing on the shelf matched it. And that was because nothing else had that trifecta of nutritious, functional, and delicious. And that was really the beginning creation story of Snow Monkey. It was just slowly, organically, and really meant to be a solution to a problem that a lot of us have.
So you're in your apartment. How are you making this? What does your kitchen look like?
Oh my God. It was actually really funny because I went to Boston University and we had a Bed Bath Beyond on campus. Mm-hmm. So I went there and I bought a food processor because I was looking online and there's a lot of these like banana ice nice cream recipes that I'm sure you're very familiar with that mm-hmm. use food processors to kind of whip the banana. So I thought, okay, that must be the machine that I need to take this to the next level because putting it in a blender was coming out flat like a smoothie. So bought a food processor, also bought a Cuisinart like ice cream maker where you can only put like 3 cups of mix in and then it churns it for like an hour and a half. And I remember standing at the counter, like impatiently waiting for batches to be done. And that's how it all started. I mean, it was nothing elaborate or complicated. It was very dorm room-esque.
Okay, so what, you know, I'm not going to lie, I also have vegan Ben and Jerry's in my freezer and Natamu. So what makes yours different than the other ice creams out there?
Yeah, I mean, those are both great products. What sets us apart is, I think, our perspective on nutrition and health, and that's really part of our core founding values. We look at food as fuel. So we're very careful about the ingredients that we pick. Everything that's in our pint absolutely has to be in there, and it serves a purpose from either a flavor standpoint or from a macronutrient angle. And the product attributes that we have, there's really no other product out there that can compare because we are vegan, we're paleo, we're free of all 8 major allergens. And I know that's really a tough one for people who are lactose intolerant because a lot of the non-dairy alternatives have nuts, have coconut, rice, or soy, yeah, which can be troublesome for people. And having that 20 to 24 grams of protein per pint and ranging in the 400 to 500 calories per pint is a pretty great deal, in my opinion. And that's where we also really look at accessibility. I think that sets us apart a lot. We have several competitors or similar products that sell for double our price. We sell in the same dollar range as Ben & Jerry's and Häagen-Dazs because I don't believe that health should be exclusive to the top 1% that can afford it. I think that businesses can really make a change, and the way that we're trying to do that is by making health more accessible to households nationwide. And that's why we're focused on that accessible price point, but also accessible distribution. So starting to roll out in more mainstream stores instead of staying at the more boutique delis or smaller high-end store chains.
So I want to get back to that, but first I've got a question because I think it's so good. How are you making it desserty? You know, it's like, you know, you typically imagine dessert to be something that's indulgent, that's not necessarily healthy, but you've created a healthy, a healthy dessert. So what are you sneaking in there that you know, maybe is like super healthy that we don't even realize we're eating when we're scooping that out?
I think it's actually just the fact that we let Mother Nature shine, as cheesy as that sounded now that I'm thinking about it. It's literally just fruits and seeds, and mm-hmm. we have made amazing produce that's accessible to us. So we just work tirelessly to find the perfect combination of fruits and seeds that would bring flavor bursts, still have some sort of that creamy mouthfeel and texture. And I think mm-hmm. we thank the bananas for that. And then using hemp protein, which is flavorless, and having that blend really flawlessly into the rest of the mix is the way you could quote unquote like sneak the nutrition and function into it without people being like, oh, well, now it tastes like cardboard.
Okay. So let's talk about once you started, how did you get out there? You know, you're making this in your kitchen. And then when did people first start to be like, oh, hey, make me some or stores start to order it?
Oh, wow. There was a bit of a gap between having the final homemade recipe and actually being able to launch in market, especially with food. That's something we wanted to be incredibly careful about from a food safety angle. And I always wanted to make sure that if we launched anything into market, it would be something that myself and the rest of our team would happily eat every single day because of the quality. And it actually took about, I'll say like 9 months between our launching our Kickstarter and then using that capital to invest in a food scientist and then do a lot of batch runs at factories, establish supply chain relationships, and also put some cash down to get these high quality ingredients to then make the first production run and start bringing it out to stores. It was not easy by any means.
How do people get to learn about your product to begin with?
It was really the Kickstarter, I think, that mm-hmm. helped us. Our Kickstarter was over 100% funded in 4 days.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was really incredible to see that, especially when Kickstarter is not the typical platform that you'd launch a food product on. But the reason why I wanted to do that was because I really wanted to gain that early group of adopters first and mm-hmm. loyal fan base that we could use as a tool for learning and improving as we grew. And then we really leveraged them to help request us at stores and share about it on social media. And then honestly, I did a lot of door-to-door sales, like driving around LA, basically showing up in the back in the loading docks of stores, almost begging to see the buyer and saying, please take this chance with us. Look at this list of people that have already backed us on Kickstarter. And every time we got into a store, we would just target ads around that 5 mile radius. And we would just go from there. It was really like small building blocks one at a time.
That's so cool though. You know, I know so many people that are entrepreneurs that are trying to develop products and stuff. And I just hear how incredibly difficult it is, but to see, you know, you really took charge of it and went out and, you know, you did all the really heavy lifting. And so that's really impressive. And is that how Chobani found you or how did that come about?
Oh, Chobani, Chobani launched their incubator and we applied for it in the first round and we were way too small. I think they thought, okay, this is cute, but like, this is not a business.
How many people were you?
We were three people at the time and our distribution was, I think, at like 100 stores and the companies that they were already letting in had distribution in like Whole Foods or some Safeways. So we had a little bit to go. And then in the second round of applications, they accepted us. We were the smallest company, but we had grown so much between our first round of applications and our second round that it made them pause and they were like, okay, they're onto something here. And we got into Chobani's incubator and that really, really changed and opened up a whole world for us.
What went on while you were in the incubator?
Chobani is such an incredible company from a mission standpoint, and their CEO and founder Hamdi, all he wants to do is help the small companies, kind of like what Chobani was like 10 years ago, help mm-hmm. them succeed and take on the big guys and really change the face of food and change that value system. Because unfortunately, a lot of the large food conglomerates are not really putting consumer health and nutrition first. They're really looking at that profit margin and, I wouldn't say most things up on shelf are what we should be eating. And Chobani opened up their whole playbook. Any division of the business that we needed help with, they had experts in their company sit with us one-on-one and walk us through processes. Like we had their COO help us with co-packing agreements. I mean, that's unreal. They were introducing us to retailers and I think having their stamp of approval helped us a lot because retailers are always very skeptical of young companies because they don't want to put something on shelf that's going to crash and burn and then they have an empty shelf.
Yeah. So when you first started then, what was your first grocery store you were in before Chobani even happened?
Mom and pops around the LA area. So that would have been Erewhon, which have mm-hmm. you visited?
I haven't been to Erewhon, but I do go to LA.
Okay. Well, next time you're in LA, I say it's worth a stop. Okay. Erewhon and then Vicente Foods, PC Greens, just small independent stores. And then finally, when we had enough local stores in the LA area, we caught the attention of Whole Foods local and we mm-hmm. were placed in a few Whole Foods stores and that helped us open up our distribution because prior to that, I was delivering to each store and driving it around the city. So getting on board with a distributor to service Whole Foods then helped us add in more stores, and everything just grew from there.
So when you were with Chobani then, was that when you really hit that 2,500, or has that come as a result of being in that incubator?
When we entered the Chobani incubator, we were in about 250 stores. And that year, oh my gosh, we went from 250 to 1,200 stores. That was, I don't even know if I slept that year.
Oh my God. How do you scale something of that size to go from that to that? That's huge.
It was huge. And we had a lot of infrastructure that we really had to implement on the back end. And then on the flip side, also really drive consumers to all these new stores. But I think also what we were trying to do was focus on larger chains, so that, like, we just launched in Sprouts recently, and that's 340 stores in one pop. So we were looking at adding bigger names, really heading towards that nationwide household distribution, and added on a few key accounts. And that's how we got it done. But that's, of course, half the battle. Like, once you're in the store, you have to make sure people know you're there and keep buying it. Otherwise, you're out of the store just as quickly as you got in.
Yeah. So what are you doing to make sure people know about you?
We were just really trying to push brand awareness. And that comes from any type of sales materials that you'd see on the store, whether we're putting the product on promotion or if we have in-store ads. Doing a lot of digital media. We're a whole team of millennials, so that's really our wheelhouse. Social media ads, organic content, influencer marketing. And then we're just so grateful that our tribe of customers really love our product and they're sharing about us. And that helps us so much, because word of mouth is so powerful in the food industry, which I'm sure you know, because you have tons of followers that really take your word for it, and I'm sure will drive across the city just to go try that one vegan delight that you said is worth it.
Yeah. I want to know, so your audience now, you've tapped into the athlete audience a lot, which I think is really cool, because, you know, you have a lot of other dessert type products where it's just, that's never going to be a thing. You know, like if you're an athlete, I really can't see you supporting like a peanut butter crunch, 1,000 calorie a pint ice cream. So you've partnered with some athletes, correct?
Yes, we have.
Oh, so who have you partnered with in the past couple of years?
So far we've partnered with Courtney Comlog, who's currently ranked 7th in the world. She's a pro female surfer. Mallory, who is a very decorated swimmer, even though she's only 22, and she's currently in a prime position to qualify for the Tokyo Olympics, which, unfortunately, qualifications have been postponed, but she's head down. She's working really hard. And then Anna Weiss, who is an American sailor who just qualified for Tokyo 2020. And then we have two other athletes that I'm so excited about, but I can't announce just yet. But oh my God, these women are incredible, and they're really helping us push our message of fueling your body properly to have the optimal mental and physical results.
I love that. And you mentioned like they're all female athletes. So tell me a little bit about what it's like being, first off, I mean, you're young and you're female, and I know as myself being a female entrepreneur, especially in the vegan space, even if there's a lot of female entrepreneurs, it's still a very male dominated industry for me. What do you feel like it is for you right now? Like, what is your industry like in terms of like you being a female and how you're treated and what you do?
Yeah, it is still very much a male dominated industry. Especially when it comes to the retail side of things. Most of the buyers that we meet with are men. Most of the decision makers are men. And when we first started out, it was extremely, extremely difficult because we were doubted for everything. I mean, dorm room startup, just got out of college, doesn't have any industry, any like food industry experience, first time founder. That's just like all the stereotypical red flags, right? For someone who's a very traditional mindset. And every step of the way, we've been doubted. and we've had to prove ourselves over and over and over. And that's why I'm just so grateful that we have that loyal fan base that keeps sharing about us, so that buyers and other companies see that there is organic love for Snow Monkey. It's not me like spoon feeding people. And then having that stamp of approval from Chobani and also Forbes really helped us. But you know what? Even though like we've had all those challenges, and I've personally like felt such a, I felt so down many times for being a female founder. Like I've walked into meeting rooms, meeting people for the first time, and they're like, "Oh, I didn't expect you." Like, what do you mean? I didn't expect you. Or when we've met with factories, you know, we've spoken with them on the phone, we've negotiated things, then I fly over to meet with them, and they're like, "Oh, you're a lot younger than I thought." Or a lot of the times our team will be running events and people will come over and be like, could you let us know when your boss is back? We'd love to speak with you. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it doesn't surprise me, but also it does. I mean, how do you deal with that? Like what do you do?
I mean, our team is so wonderful. We're an all female team and we just laugh it off after, because we're very confident in what we've built and where we're going. But, and we luckily don't let it get under our skin, but it is a little crazy, especially in a more liberal setting, such as like Los Angeles, to have people walk up to us and say, "Where's your boss and when's he coming back?" And we just love going, "Actually, you know, this is the boss and would you like to speak with her?" And you kind of see that shift. And I think, actually, more often than not, most people are really pleasantly surprised. And I think it's a really cool change in perspective. So I'm glad that we're out there being able to crush stereotypes with everything that we do.
Good. I think like the food industry needs more people like you who are proactive and strong and just believe in themselves. Oh, I just can't, you know, I had my dog the other day and I had to take him to the vet and I took my friend with me, who's a male, and they talked to him the whole time. And they're like, "Oh, your dog." And they showed him the bill. I'm like, "Actually, he's my dog. And thank you." You know, it's automatically assumed that as you are not the person in charge if you're a female. So the fact that you're able to go in there and show the industry that, hey, look at what you've done and what you've succeeded, is just, it's amazing. And it's a great bar to set. And it's you're a great role model for other females that want to get into this business. Cause I know it can be really challenging and intimidating. And speaking of all of that, you were just named last year as one of Forbes 30 under 30 list, which is an incredible accomplishment. Congratulations. Like that's amazing. And I want to know, like, how did that come about? Did they just call you and say, "We've heard about you and we want to learn more. We want to feature you"?
Well, thank you. Honestly, it's still surreal. Like I'm here like grinning ear to ear as you're saying, because it doesn't feel real. I actually remember when I first found out, it was 6 a.m. in LA and I was checking my email, and the first thing I do is delete all the spam messages so I can get to like the real work. Yeah. And I saw something and it said Forbes, and it was like, I forgot what it said in the subject headline, but I thought it was spam and I almost deleted it.
Oh my God.
But then I opened it and it was actually congratulating me for making the Forbes 30 under 30 list. And the way that came about was they actually just reached out saying that they were interested and they wanted to know some background on the company and know some figures about us. But they had asked me that the year prior too. And I gave it to them knowing that we were too small. So second time around, I sent them the figures and I was like, you know, nothing's going to come of this. Like, I know that we're too small. Because I always read the nominees every year and they selected us. So that, I'll never forget that.
Do you have the copy framed?
I do, in the office. It's pretty cool.
Yes. Amazing. So, and when did that come out?
That was last year's class. So class of, they consider it 2019, but they announce it in 2018.
Okay, so since that's announced, has your life changed at all? Like, have you know, did that kind of lead to other things because you were named one of 30 under 30?
I think that that stamp of recognition that I was mentioning earlier really helped. That's something that I put in my bio when I'm pitching to investors, when I'm going to buyer meetings, we put it on our presentation. And I tend to be a little bit more humble about it, but my team was like, no, you need to just like put it everywhere because we're getting doubted all the time. And this is something that can really change someone's preconceived notions of us. And we should be damn proud of it. Be proud of this win. And I love that they gave me that pep talk. So now like I put it everywhere and it helps so much.
I'm so glad you put it everywhere. It's so important. I mean, it's just, it's such a big deal. You know, Forbes is huge. And to be one of 30 people in the U.S. considered on that, it's so elite. It's just, it's, I'm, I don't know. I think it's so incredible. And I'm just, I'm so happy for you because, you know, it's, you, it sounds like you've just worked incredibly hard to get there and deserve it. So how are you, what investment series are you in now?
We've done a seed round. The first funding we ever got was winning a grant at Boston University. That was really helpful. That helped us kind of prep for our Kickstarter. Then we used that funding to get into market. And then we did a seed round and that's all we've done so far.
Wow.
We were planning to do a fundraising round this quarter, but obviously due to current circumstances, it's a really hot time to be fundraising.
Yeah. Have you noticed a sales like difference since we've all been in self-isolation quarantine?
Oh yeah. It's very frustrating. Our e-commerce has skyrocketed, which is fantastic. I'm glad that everyone's staying at home and they're trying to keep their healthy routine and they're ordering us. The problem with a product like Snow Monkey in grocery store, and I was actually just connecting with a lot of other Chobani founders an hour ago before speaking to you, what we're running into is that most of us are not considered a priority product and retailers are super focused on restocking the staples, toilet paper, coffee, baby food. So even though people are in the grocery stores and we're seeing that like Snow Monkey is sold out, the distributor is not acting quickly enough to restock the shelves. So, and we were supposed to roll out in a lot of Safeway stores 2 weeks ago and that got canceled. So our product's just sitting in their warehouse. But you know what, even though it is hurting our business, I understand why the industry is prioritizing certain things. We have to look after the people that are not healthy right now, that aren't safe. We have to attend to the needs of the community as a whole. So it's a small problem in the grand scheme of things. I'm glad we're prioritizing as a community.
So have you shifted your plans at all with all of this going on?
Well, our whole sorry, I'm laughing because our whole marketing campaign for this year was all built up and leading towards the Olympics for this July. And now, and now it's for next July. It's fine. It's not the end of the world, but I think it's, we were all so excited and we're like, every time I watch the campaign ads that we haven't launched yet, I get like shivers and I like want to launch them so badly. But I think there's actually going to be a lot of, consumer behavior change that becomes long lasting, after this. I think that we are all going to be way more open to ordering frozen food online. That's something that we were trying to educate before, that ordering ice cream online is okay. It's not going to melt on your doorstep. It's totally fine because traditionally people always think of going to the store to buy ice cream. So I think we can pivot a little bit more around focusing on e-commerce platforms.
Yeah.
But other than that, we're not pivoting. Our why has always been the same from our dorm room days. And our team right now is just keeping our head down. We're focused on strengthening our weaknesses. We're focused on our long-term goals. We just want to be ready to run the minute the world restores order.
Oh, I hope that's soon. Oh man. So you're in Hawaii right now.
I am, yes.
And so you are riding out the quarantine there. What's it like over there right now?
There's luckily a lot of space. And I love the outdoors. It's what brings me peace. It's where I do my best thinking. And luckily, we're still allowed to swim and hike and bike and run. And that's honestly, I think, everything I need to keep the mindset. And people are being really respectful of the 6 foot distance. Everything's closed except for groceries. But I think island life's a little more chill. You don't feel it as much as you would in like LA or New York with everything being closed.
Yeah. Do you have your product there?
I do. So I've been doing store checks every time I do grocery shopping and just going in and meeting the buyers and thanking them and introducing myself. It's a nice time to build relationships.
I mean, that is definitely true. So what is, other than the Olympics now in 2021, what's next for your brand? Where do you see it going?
I mean, we have our work cut out for us. We are still trying to get more mainstream distribution, like nationwide household brand. I want Snow Monkey to be as reputable as Ben and Jerry's. And in order to achieve that, we really need to start going into big box retailers, looking at Whole Foods Nationwide, Target, Walmart, Costco, really saturating the market in all 50 states. And then from a product standpoint, right now we're actually working on improving all of our products from a texture and a mouthfeel. We have, we've gone through so many batches now, and we have a really, really well-known food scientist who's working on our product. He's an ice cream expert. He's invented many ice cream SKUs for some of the largest companies around the world. And we just can't wait to launch kind of the 2.0.
Yeah.
It'll be happening in the fall.
Okay.
And otherwise we're just going to keep amplifying what we're doing.
I love it. So how can people find Snow Monkey?
So
like online, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. I mean, if you go to our website, you can order, we ship nationwide, through FedEx. Otherwise, if you type in your zip code, you can see a store list of the stores closest to you. We're also very active on Instagram. We're always announcing anytime we roll out in new stores. But notably, we're in Ralph's, King Soopers, Fred Meyer's, Sprouts, select Whole Foods, and then a lot of smaller stores around the country.
And what's your website?
www.snow-monkey.com. And then our Instagram is @eatsnowmonkey.
I love it. And what is your favorite of all of your products? Your favorite flavor?
We just launched a mint chocolate chip and...
No. Oh, yum.
I literally eat the whole pint.
Oh my gosh.
I love it. And it's the first flavor of ours that we've added chips into. And we partnered with a artisanal chocolate maker in Brooklyn called Raka. You might know them. They're a vegan chocolate company. And all they use in their chocolate is cacao and maple. And I just loved how clean their chocolate was, even though it was on the pricier end. I said, we have to put this in our pint. So we partnered up with Raka. And oh, man. Oh, we're just going to have to send you some, Diana.
Oh, my God, please. I'm sitting here. I'm like, oh, mint chocolate chip is one of my favorites. And if it's healthy for me, I love it even more.
Yeah, because most mint chocolate chips, I'm like, oh, that was 1,700 calories. I'm going to forget that ever happened.
I mean, but it's still, I feel like, you know, I was telling you earlier, like, with the quarantine and stuff, like I'm trying my best to be really healthy, but then last week I had marshmallows for breakfast. So, you know, if I could have a chance to have like to satiate that sweetness and that comfort food that I want, but have it be like healthy, I'm all about it.
Speaking of breakfast, that's actually one thing that people are loving about Snow Monkey that we're trying to highlight is that people are having ice cream for breakfast. They're feeding it to their kids even before school, or I guess now before homeschool. They're putting it in their workout smoothies. Or just having it as that guilt-free indulgence. And I think that's something that also really sets our product apart is that versatility. You can really feel good about eating it any time of the day.
I mean, I love that because I always want something delicious any time of the day. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time today and chatting with me. Is there anything you want people to know in the podcast universe about your product or anything you want to add?
I would just add that, I mean, we're still such a small company and we have a lot to learn, a lot of perfecting to do. It helps mm-hmm. us so much when people share about us, but also share with us what they think of the products, if they have tips for us, because we're also trying to build this plane as it flies. And also that I've been so lucky that so many other successful entrepreneurs have taken the time to coach me, help me out when I'm completely stuck, mentor our team. And it's really that ecosystem that's kept us going. And yeah. if our team can ever be of service to anyone who's listening, anyone who's trying to build a business or maybe is just trying to amp up their workout and nutrition routine. Like we're here. We do this for community. We're not just trying to profit off of pints. Culture and team is everything for us. So we're only one DM away, one email away. I would really encourage that because we love hearing from the tribe.
That's awesome. That's absolutely wonderful. I wish I would have had someone like you when I was starting because I would have been like, absolutely. And just reached out to you immediately. And I still might, even though I've been in this for a minute now, but I appreciate you. Thank you so, so much for being a guest. Congratulations again on all of your success. Truly, truly like, wow. You know, I'm speechless. I'm so impressed. Thank you for being on here. Thank you guys for listening. And we'll be back soon. Have a great day. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you, Diana.
Are you looking to save a little cash right now? I know I am. So I have some great deals for you. Daily Harvest right now is offering $25 off your first order when you use code VEGANSBABY at checkout. They are an all organic, all natural meal prep service. So you get cups of beautiful smoothies and bowls and savory and sweet. And I absolutely love them. There's also some deals right now over at Vegan Cuts, and they do subscription boxes like snack boxes and beauty boxes, and even right now a quarantine box. So head over to vegancuts.com and use code VEGANSBABY to save a little money there. And if you're in the mood to shop, I actually have a whole shop on Amazon with some of my favorite products. It's amazon.com/shop/vegansbaby. Head on over, check it out, and enjoy some shopping.